Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to the September 4th edition of Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder. I'm your host, Adam Jason Sinclair, and tonight we'll be discussing IMSA, IHRA, and the NHRA, as well as touching on horse racing, go-karts, and other fun stuff. This week, our first guest is NHRA driver Don O'Neill. O'Neill competes on the National Hot Rod Association's iconic Mellow Yellow Tour in front of 1.6 million fans annually. Don's already been on hold for like 4 minutes, so I think we're going to go ahead and bring him on off hold now and welcome him to the program. Hey, Don, how you doing?
Hey, good evening, Adam. How are you doing?
Not too bad. Thanks for coming on.
No problem. My pleasure.
First off, I'd like to ask you how the season's going for you so far.
The season's been one of those years where we've had just as many ups as we've had downs, and as we're going into the home stretch, we're hoping to at least try to finish off on a high note. Is we're going to be moving over from our normal category of NHRA Supercomp, which runs on an 890 index, and we're going to start running NHRA Top Sportsman for the last two races of the year at Columbus and St. Louis. So trying to get ready for next year and moving up into a little bit faster category. So we're looking at it as a testing improvement, getting ahead of the curve for 2015 for our last quarter of the year.
Why do you decide to become a race car driver?
You know, it's probably just goes back to growing up around it with my dad as a kid, traveling around the country with him to the little small tracks throughout the Midwest, and once we moved to North Carolina, and then once he passed away, I just felt like it was something I really enjoyed doing, and it brought me a whole lot closer, makes me feel closer to him after he's passed on, being at the racetrack, and I made so many friends, and heck, you just can't you can't discard the fact that going fast and having a good time is a reason not to go do something.
That sounds pretty good to me. As you may have heard on my my previous broadcast, I sometimes run a promotional piece for the Snake and Mongoose movie. And I was wondering, how did Snake and Mongoose and their careers inspire your racing career?
Well, as far as inspiration goes, it was more so after the fact to look in, you know, as a kid in the late 70s, early 80s, who didn't grow up with Hot Wheels cars? And for the Snake and the Mongoose and that portion of the movie of history, I mean, that's how it was. We wanted to see those cars at the racetrack when they came in and did their appearances, and we all wanted to have them on the sidewalk or on the living room floor. You know, who didn't want to be the Snake, you know, driving the Army car, and the Mongoose doing his thing? And so it just really goes back to the way drag racing started out, how small and aggressive it got, you know, from the 70s to the 80s to even now, how competitive it is and how we just get down into the trenches and want to be fierce competitors. And even though when those significant emotional events happened with Tom losing his son and Don, you know, losing or Tom winning, however you want to say it, at the U.S. Nationals, that was a huge moment. I remember watching on ABC Sports as a kid. So, yeah, it's definitely part of my life. And I'm not a huge history buff, but I definitely respect those and enjoy those moments in history of the sport that I love to compete in.
What's your opinion of the U.S. Nationals, and have you ever been to that event?
Yes, the U.S. Nationals is NHRA State of the 500. It is the Super Bowl. It's the World Series. It's the NBA Finals, the Stanley Cup. It is that event for us, even though, you know, there's not a world championship on the line at that event. But just completing the 60th annual U.S. Nationals, 2010, I was lucky enough to runner-up at that event in 2010 and be the first active duty soldier at the time while I was serving to actually make it to a final round at an NHRA national event. So that was a big feat, and I guess I have the 5-year curse on me right now that everybody seems to go through that doesn't win the U.S. Nationals. It seems to take everybody about 5 years before they can figure out how to get back to a final round, and I'm hoping that I wrapped it up this year and I can next year move on and have a better outing at the 61st U.S. Nationals.
There you go. What's your favorite racing memory so far?
I actually have two. The first one is after my dad passed away, the first time I ever actually got to drive his race car at Rockingham Dragway in North Carolina. I'll never forget going off the end of the track onto the turnoff road and just had tears coming down my face the first time I ever drove his car. That was a pretty emotional event for me. And then, like I just previously mentioned, the 2010 U.S. Nationals, even though that wasn't a win, to be an active duty soldier and make it to a final at an NHRA national event, that was a huge milestone for me. And I really look back on it and wish I would have been able to close that out, because at least I could have put my name in the history books, whether it be a personal or professional goal. But anybody in the military, a lot of people don't give us a lot of credit when we're serving, that we can still go out there and do things that people do on an everyday basis. And so it would have been a huge mark on the wall for me.
That's pretty cool. What's your favorite racetrack that you compete on?
My favorite track to compete at is actually Las Vegas. I love Las Vegas Motor Speedway out there at the Strip. There's just nothing more enjoyable and peaceful to be between Nellis Air Force Base with the fighter jets and the helicopters flying over, and then you're zipping off the 1,320 feet out in the mountains right out in front of you at the end of the racetrack. And you, at times, you know, normally in the fall, October race, first part of November, you can still see snow on a nice clear day. And so that just really gives you a scenic view, and who doesn't love Vegas? So to be in that atmosphere, I really love going to Vegas. I really do.
Going back to the snake and mongoose thing for a second, were there any parts of the movie that you could relate to as a racer?
The ups and downs that they went through once they got together and started doing their marketing and their promotional and having sponsor commitments and really coming to terms with the fact that, you know, we look at racing, a lot of people look at racing that it's, you know, it's a fun type situation or it's a hobby. And realistically, to some it may actually be that, but to a lot of us it's our job and it's a business. And once you get your head wrapped around it, you can try to get your arms around the big bear known as the corporate sponsor. You have to do that, and you have to work hard at it. And a lot of times it's not necessarily what happens at the drag strip that keeps sponsors happy. It's what goes on away from the racetrack. So I definitely enjoyed their ups and downs as they went through their negotiation and their deals with different companies that they had and their match racing and forth to try to make money. So I can definitely relate with that.
How would you address the problems of decreasing attendance and lower ratings that the NHRA and racing in general are currently facing?
That, I don't know that we got enough time in your hour-long show to be able to talk about that. It really, me being a marketing person and coming from a military background of doing recruiting events, trying to bring the younger generation in, but also at the same time keep the older generations engaged. The Junior Drag Racing League is out there. There's a lot of kids that are involved in it, and the parents are. But at the same time, we still have a never-rising cost issue. Whether it's in the professional ranks or the sportsman ranks, we have costs. The entry fees alone, the $4 a gallon for diesel fuel, racing gas being what it is, that's, you know, gate fees being, you know, $60 or $70 to get into a race for admission sometimes. It's just escalating costs. And to go along with that, it's harder and harder to find corporate sponsorship that's not on a business-to-business relationship to be able to increase sales for them, to bring them into the sport, to be able to keep things going in an upward swing for a younger generation or newer drivers, if you will, to break into the professional ranks. And that's really where I think we have, you know, I hate to say you have to take a step back, but you have to be more creative with how we're spending money at the NHRA level, how we're doing our marketing prior to a race. You know, I remember as a kid, race week on a Tuesday or Wednesday before a race weekend, you could go to numerous retail outlets or convenience stores, and there might be 3, 4, 5 different race car drivers there with their rigs and mm-hmm. signing autographs and shaking hands and trying to convince people to buy those companies' products. And now it's gotten to the point where you might see one person for 2 hours and that's it. There's no self-promotion.
Yeah.
You know, we have some issues that I feel like the younger generation, if you will, of marketers, those of us that have grown up in the Generation X, if you will, millennial-type situation, where companies or executives at NHRA might listen to us a little bit or track operators or promoters, we might be able to create some different revenue streams to start getting more people to come out to the racetrack.
Mm-hmm. Looks like we got a few minutes before our next caller is supposed to call in. So if you, the listener, have any questions, please call in now at 215-383-3681.
Adam, where are you at? Where are you at down there in Florida?
I'm out of West Palm Beach. I'm like maybe 20 miles from Palm Beach International Raceway, the drag strip there.
Okay. Yes, I've had some good times down there at West Palm. You guys are getting ready to have a huge winter series that's going to come through there here towards the middle part of November, I think, is when they're coming down there. Not real sure if we're going to make the winter mm-hmm. series trip this year, but you're down there with some really tough racers in southern Florida. There is a lot of tough drag racers that come from the great state of Florida.
Yeah, there are. Are you going to try and have you ever competed at Citrus Nationals down here?
What that Citrus Nationals always falls, what is that, the week before Thanksgiving?
Yeah, right around Thanksgiving.
Yeah, and that's always a bad time for us because we only have about 2.5 weeks before the PRI show. And that, you know, the motorsports show always takes precedence over business relationships and sponsor commitments. So we normally don't make the Citrus Nationals, but I always enjoy the fact that, you know, Thanksgiving weekend, you can be in Florida and it can be 70 degrees and you can be racing.
There you go. I've been to the Pro Winter Warm-Up for the past, like, three or four years now that they have in the spring. And it seems like the weather's always okay for at least the first day, but then by the time it gets to the second or third day, it's pouring rain. So it seems like the pro cars, anyway, seem to bring the rain with them.
Yeah, well, you know, you get 10,000 horsepower of nitromethane circling and disturbing a lot of turbulence down there in the Gulf region. You get the clouds rolling in, and the next thing you know, you got raindrops falling.
There you go. Well, I'd like to thank you very much for coming on the program. It was great having you on. Nice talking with you.
Adam, thank you very much for having us on. If there's anything we could ever do for you, you're out to a race or you're up in the Midwest anytime, please give a shout. Look forward to meeting you face-to-face.
Well, thanks very much.
All right, take care, Adam. Have a great week.
You too. Thank you. Again, that was NHRA competitor Don O'Neill. We'd like to thank you very much for coming on the program. He was the first competitor that we've had on from the drag racing ranks. Tonight's program will be a little bit more drag racing-centric. I'm going to have, later on the show, we've got Elaine Larson, Marisha Falk from the IHRA, the two of the jet dragster drivers in that competition, that series, and I'm looking forward to hearing what they have to say. Right now, I'm going to take a little break and have a moment with our sponsor.
Get ready to relive the greatest rivalry in drag racing history. It's Don the Snake Prudhomme versus Tom the Mongoose McEwen, facing off in the feature film Snake and Mongoose. The movie stars all your favorite cars from the 60s and 70s and includes some spectacular scenes using vintage footage from the old glory days. Get it now on DVD and Blu-ray or download directly to your electronic device. Available in stores, Redbox, at Amazon.com, or online at snakeandmongoosemovie.com/store.
Hello and welcome back to the Thursday Night Thunder with your host Adam Jason Sinclair. We just had Don O'Neill of the NHRA on the program. Our next guest is Tristan Nunez from the International Motorsports Association. We have a few moments before he's going to be calling in, so I'd like to talk a little bit about NASCAR, since that's always the big elephant in the room, so to speak, there about the this weekend. NASCAR is going to be in Richmond for the last race before the beginning of the Sprint Cup chase for the championship. The race will be live on Saturday night, September 6th. It's a 400-lap race. It'll be broadcast on ABC, starting at 7 p.m., with a green flag at 7:43 p.m. The race will also air in Canada on TSN2, and will air in Spanish on ESPN Deportes on September 7th at 4 a.m. ESPN2 is going to have Sprint Cup practice at 1 p.m. on Friday, September 5th, and qualifying later that day at 5:30 p.m. That is, of course, weather permitting. The Richmond area is getting a record amount of rain today, as you've probably seen from some of the pictures on Speedway Digest, as well as on Twitter and other places. It's actually insane the amount of rain they've had there, like 14 inches of rain falling at once, the haulers starting to float away and that sort of thing, track the people swimming underneath the cars. It's a little bit much. But tomorrow night, the NASCAR Nationwide Series race will be at the will be held on the Speedway there in Richmond at 7 p.m. with a 7:43 p.m. green flag. Qualifying will air on ESPN2 at 3:30 p.m. The race will be broadcast on ESPN2 as well. Going back to the world of drag racing for a second, the NHRA Metal Yellow Drag Racing Series has the weekend off before the start of the countdown to the championship, but drag racing fans can still see some racing action on TV, with ESPN2 airing 1 hour of highlights from the recent NHRA Lucas Oil Drag Racing Series event in Indianapolis on Sunday, September 7th at 9:30 a.m. Following the telecast, ESPN2 will also air the 2013 edition of NHRA Thrills and Spills. That's always quite the program. I'm sure some of the stuff that took place at the U.S. Nationals last week will end up on the 2014 edition. Now I'd like to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Mazda's Motorsports driver and friend of the show, Tristan Nunez. Tristan Nunez is an 18-year-old professional racing driver that competes in the Tudor United Sports Car Championship as a factory driver for Mazda Motorsports Speed Source in the number 7 Mazda Skyactiv diesel prototype. Nunez became the youngest winner in the Grand Am and ALMS history in 2013 and became the youngest sports car champion in 2012 when captured the Cooper Tires Project Lights powered by Mazda Series Championship. Born to a now-retired professional tennis player, Nunez ventured from the family business and began his racing career at the age of 11. He advanced his career with multiple karting championships and then transitioned into Skip Barber Formula Cars, where he was named 2010 Rookie of the Year in the Skip Barber Southern Series and won the Skip Barber Summer Series Overall Points Championship. The team also won the 2012 Team USA Scholarship, going on to win the Walter Hayes Trophy at Silverstone, which he discussed on Episode 5 of the program, and was named by Sports Illustrated as a face in the crowd. The young Floridian stays active on and off the racetrack as he advocates for and works to spread the word on the danger of texting and driving through his foundation, the Don't Text and Drive Foundation. Tristan will be on here for roughly 20 minutes, so I invite all my guests, all my listeners, to call in to 1-215-383-3681 as soon as he's done, and you'll be able to ask your own questions of the young IMSA driver. Before Nunez calls in, I'll go ahead and cover some of the things I'm ready to discuss with him. Nunez is going to have a an appearance in the Sunshine Stakes, which is a harness racing event held at Delray Beach. He'll be there on September 13th, racing in the event. He'll be the only professional racer in the event, competing against two legislators and one reporter. Will definitely be interesting. Personally, I think that Nunez will have the advantage as a race car driver, because racing is racing, as they say, and he'll be able to have a better feel for the track, even though the track is not a paved track, it's a grass track, and the animal that he's piloting is an animal, a horse, and not a vehicle with 100 horsepower. Right now, I'd like to welcome Tristan Nunez to the program. Hello, how are you doing?
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good. How do you think your season's going so far, and what are your goals for 2015?
The season's going really good. The car is making tremendous progress every week and every day, actually. You know, I'm always going in the shop and seeing what new stuff they're strapping onto the car, and you know, if that doesn't work, we try something else. That's pretty much how this year has been going, but you know, I just look at it as me going to college. You know, we're not getting the wins that we want to right now, but in the future, you know, it's all going to be worth it in the long run, I think. And for 2015, that's I hope that Mazda hires me back again. Hope I'm doing my job well, and they like what I'm doing over there.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I lost connection for a second.
It's all good.
So, recently launched a website for the Don't Text and Drive Foundation. Can you explain your interest in the program and why it's so important?
Yeah, I know. We got started with the actual program itself. I've been doing it for about 3 years now. I started when I was 15 years old. The whole reason I got started was because, you know, you wouldn't believe it, but my mom was the one who started it because she was texting and driving at the wheel. When I was sitting passenger with her, and we almost got in an accident. And from that moment forward, we decided to make a stop to it in our family and then make a change ourselves. We started that by putting the Don't Text and Drive logo on the side of my race car when I raced them to lights. And that's when we also started talking to schools and high schools and giving the Don't Text and Drive presentation. And recently, we just launched our new website, the Don't Text and Drive Foundation, which is, you know, just another effort to further our efforts in the great cause that it is, because it is such a huge issue, especially with among my peers. You know, texting is a new form of communication amongst teens, and they just do it at the wrong time at the steering wheel. And the whole point of this foundation is pretty much just to grant money and give scholarships to schools that are taking initiative in the in this cause. You know, it's very rare to find a good driver's ed program. You know, they don't even have cars for the students to learn in anymore. And
yeah.
Hopefully this will help a little bit.
I know you're going to hold a go-kart event in the end of this month. You want to talk a little bit about that as well?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's going to be our first event with the foundation. Hopefully, the plan is to get a bunch of fellow racers and some racing teams and some people who don't even know about racing to come in and beat around in the go-karts and just to raise money for the charity. I think it'll be a good kickoff for the foundation, and so far it's getting a lot of notice, so it's looking really good so far.
What advice do you give someone thinking of pursuing a career in motorsports?
Well, first and foremost, you got to start in go-karts. Go-karts is the way to start, and it's pretty much what every driver has done. From there, you don't want to get stuck in go-karts too long. It's very easy to get stuck in that go-kart world, you know, with the chassis manufacturers and all that good stuff, the national races, and you know the whole glory that go-karting brings along with it. But it's, you know, you got to tell yourself you got to move on. And some of my fellow racers that I grew up with are still in go-karting to this day. So it's very easy to get stuck in it, and you just got to tell yourself to get out of it. Now, from there, I would highly recommend the Skip Barber driving school and that racing series. You know, they really give you the fundamentals of your racecraft and how to drive a car that really doesn't have any grip. You know, it's a good basis to learn how to drive a manual car and first and foremost to drive a car with no grip. You know, once you can drive a car like that and go to wheel-to-wheel racing with your other drivers, you can drive anything. So that's definitely the start. And then, you know, unfortunately, racing is a very money-consuming world. So it's you have to be really realistic about, you know, what route you want to take, whether it's the road to Indy, Formula One, or sports car racing the way I did. For me, it was just more realistic to go sports cars because I actually want to have a career early in motorsports and, you know, get paid to drive, which has been my dream ever since I started racing go-karts. So for me, the sports car route was the way to go. But, you know, if your dream's to race open wheel, go open wheel. But it's you got to be realistic, and it's going to be pretty expensive.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel the new United Sports Car Racing Series has done so far this year and done in regards to the bounce performance in general?
I think they're doing amazing, to be honest. You know, they took on a really big challenge of bringing two large series together and trying to make both those cars play nice on track together. And it's been a struggle, but, you know, the fans need to understand, and even the people in racing the series need to understand that this isn't going to happen overnight. You know, nobody's going to have their way overnight, and it's not going to be the perfect series in 1 year. And, you know, I'm using the tennis reference because my dad's in the tennis world, but it's just like, you know, when you want to learn tennis, if you're original sport, or if you're not even an athlete and you want to start to play tennis, it's not going to happen in 5 days, which, you know, they have some books out there that will tell you, oh, you can learn tennis in 5 days. But realistically, that's not going to happen. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes time on the court. And that's exactly what this series needs. It needs time to develop. And within time, I have a feeling it'll be a very large and popular series.
I hope you're right. Are you looking forward to the Sunshine Stakes first race in a few weeks? And how have you been training, if at all?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see where the term horsepower really comes from. But, I've been actually training really hard for it. Where I go to school in Wellington, Florida, I have my Argentine buddies who are really big into the polo world. So they really know how to tame a horse and really be one with the horse. So I've been working on some skills with them and getting my ride time in with them. So I think I'm going to be ready. I think I'm ready to win this thing.
There you go. That'd be awesome. Looks like we got a caller waiting to talk to you. So here we go.
Perfect.
Hello and welcome to the program. Do you have any questions for Tristan Nunez? Hello? Nope. Well, it looks like the caller dropped off. That happens. I did that a few years ago, so I know that is. What's your next event in the Tudor Series?
We go to Texas next, the Circuit of the Americas. Awesome track. It really is. You know, it's probably one of my favorite tracks now. It's just so smooth. It's got every corner you can think of. It's got chicanes. It has hairpins, high-speed corners, long straightaways, short straightaways. I mean, everything. Everything you can really imagine. And it's going to be cool to see what our SkyActiv Mazda prototype can do on it.
Let's try to take another caller. Hello, and welcome to the program. Your question for Tristan Nunez. Hello?
No, not again.
No, looks like it's a really bad connection.
Oh.
Okay. Once again, if you have any questions, you can call in to 215-383-3681. What's your favorite track on the Tudor Series?
I'd have to say Sebring. You know, I've said that since the first time I drove a Skip Barber car. Especially mm-hmm. racing it during a 12-hour weekend when there's absolutely no lights on the track. I mean, it really puts some hair on your chest to be able to drive a bumpy circuit like that with, you know, a mixture of cars and with no lighting. It's really a track that always gets to me, for sure.
What are your goals for next season? I know the car's been improving over the year, but how do you think you'll be doing next year?
Well, I'm still crossing my fingers that Mazda's going to hire me back. But uh-huh. You know, being hopeful about that, when it does happen, I'm going to be very hopeful about this. I think it's going to be a pretty big eye opener for the crowd. I think we have a lot of stuff in store and stuff that we're going to try that we think is going to help the cooling problem we have and just really help the overall performance of the car. So I'm really excited for next year.
How do you feel about the fact that the GT3 series is going to be incorporated into IMSA within the next year or two?
I think that's going to be really cool. You know, any series that they can actually bring in is just all the better for us. You know, all the exposure the series can get is keen. So I think that's going to be very beneficial.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to thank you very much for coming on the program again, and I wish you lots of luck in the future, and I hope you do really well in the horse race in a couple of weeks.
Thank you. No, thank you again for having me on. It's always a pleasure to be on here with you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I hope to have you on in the future.
Thank you. Yeah, adios.
Once again, that was Tristan Nunez, Mazda Motorsports driver, who's crossing his fingers that he'll be re-signed from Mazda Motorsports for next season, and I'm pretty sure that he will be. He's an awesome driver. He's a great asset to South Florida, and we're lucky to have him here. You've got a couple minutes till the next guest is supposed to call in, so I'll go ahead and take another short break and have a word from our sponsor.
Get ready to relive the greatest rivalry in drag racing history. It's Don the Snake Prudhomme versus Tom the Mongoose McEwen, facing off in the feature film Snake and Mongoose. The movie stars all your favorite cars from the 60s and 70s and includes some spectacular scenes using vintage footage from the old glory days. Get it now on DVD and Blu-ray or download directly to your electronic device. Available in stores, Redbox, at Amazon.com, or online at snakeandmongoosemovie.com/store.
Well, we've got about 5 minutes before our next caller shows to come on, but I'll go ahead and introduce him now. Traveling back to the world of drag racing, we'd like to welcome Elaine Larson and Marisha Falk to the program. With over 20 years of drag racing experience, Elaine Larson has found her home behind the wheel of her Jet Dragsters. She met and married her high school sweetheart, Chris, and they never looked back. With their son Andrew and dog Nitro, Elaine lives her life all out. Her motto is live fast and play hard. She definitely practices what she preaches. Never wanted to back down from shock. Elaine faces every new obstacle head-on. Not coming from a racing background, Elaine headed into uncharted territory and never looked back. She never let being a female in a male-dominated world affect her in any way. Drag racing is the equalizer. On any given day, I have the same chance as anyone to win. It just has to be my day, says Elaine. Being a strong, positive female role model is a job Elaine takes very seriously, not only to little girls, but to all ladies out there. To never give up, and always give 100%. Elaine is 46 and proud of where she is in her life. Every night before she goes to bed, she knows that she has the guts to go for the glory. For those of you who are fans of the IHRA, you'll be happy to know that the IHRA Nitro Jam Series is planning on returning to almost, I think it's like 90% of the tracks they went to this season. They're also going to probably return to the remainder, but they haven't finalized their. They're constantly working on their schedule. They're also going to have the Sonic Rush Tour. The Sonic Rush Tour is currently underway. On October 4th, the Sonic Rush Tour is going to be returning to the Palm Beach International Raceway. I might even ask Lincoln Larson a little bit about that, because I know the Sonic Rush Tour is focused primarily on jet-powered machines. Well, we have a few moments. I'll go ahead and preview next week's program. Next week, we're going to have NASCAR Nationwide driver Blake Koch. I've got my fingers crossed that this time he will actually appear on the program, as well as former NASCAR Sprint Cup driver Jeremy Mayfield. Mayfield has been in the news off and on for several years following his his suspension from NASCAR. He now competes in the X1 Pro Cup Series. He also does some modified racing, and I'm going to ask him a few questions about those next week. Once again, I'd like to thank my associates at NASCAR Zone, the number one NASCAR fan site on Facebook, for their continued support. If you have any questions about NASCAR that want to participate in any discussions and see some of the important information that sometimes slips through the cracks about the NASCAR series, go to facebook.com and check out NASCAR Zone. You can find it by typing NASCAR Zone, two words, into the search engine on the top of the page there. You can also find Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder on Facebook by typing in Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder into the search bar, or going to facebook.com/SD Thursday Night Thunder. On that site, you will find the archives of the program, of the past 9 programs, as well as a little bit of background information about some of the drivers I've had on the show. There'll also be there's also a photo gallery of the drivers who I've had on the program on that site. You can also discuss anything that you've listened to on the program there. There's an extensive comment section. I look forward to reading all your comments. You can also submit questions to the drivers by using the Facebook page if you don't feel comfortable being on the air, or if you have some issues with your cell phone like I have had and like other callers have had into the program as of late. You can use the comment section and submit all your questions and you'd like to have me ask the drivers who are going to be on the program. In the coming weeks, I'm also going to have drivers from motorcycles who were, as I was informed, they're not drivers, they're riders. I've got a couple different leads on riders in motocross, as well as in supercross. There has been a little bit of a change in the AMA sanctioning as of late, and I really want to try and delve into that a little bit more. The information that I've gotten seems to indicate that the owners of the Daytona International Speedway are no longer going to be promoting the AMA. They're going to sort of spin that off to another promoter, and that will change the sport, I think. I don't know whether it'll be for good or for bad. If any of you have recently been to an AMA event, you're the lucky ones, because it doesn't seem like the AMA pro motorcycle events are getting hardly any fans in the grandstands whatsoever. It's been that way for a couple of years. It's not really a good thing. The fan experience at AMA events is awesome. I highly advise you to show up to a motorcycle race. As I've said in the past, the best way to continue the sport of motorsports is to have fans show up at the racetracks. That's the only way to guarantee that the motorsports will continue into the future. It looks like Elaine Larson has called into the program, and now I'd like to welcome her to the Thunderdome. Hello, how are you doing?
Hey, how are you?
Great. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, I'm really excited to be on. I've talked to you so many times. This is the first time we finally got it together where we could be on. This is exciting.
There you go. First off, how did you enter the world of racing? I know you didn't come from a racing background.
I didn't. I actually met and married my high school sweetheart. I saw him. He was cruising around St. John's, Michigan in a 32 Ford Deuce Coupe, just like they had from American Graffiti, and I thought, holy cow, who is this weird kid? And lo and behold, he kind of jumped out of the car, and he said, hey, you know, and we made contact, and not long after that, we decided that we wanted to take things to the next level. We got married, and he came from a world of racing and hot rodding and stuff like that. I came from the world of tractors and farms and stuff, so I was fascinated, absolutely fascinated. He took me on one of our very first dates to Mid-Michigan Motorplex, the Stanton, Michigan drag race, and I got to see the lava machine run and I thought, this is a freak show. Who would put themselves in a car that throws fire and goes that fast? But how many years later, here I am. I'm one of the freaks that get in one of those cars that throws fire.
How's your season going so far?
The season has been amazing. This is our first year running for the IHRA Nitro Jam Series. We've kind of, you know, jet cars are exhibition vehicles, so we kind of are like these match racers that go around the country, and we get booked into these different racing venues, and usually they're like for Nights of Fire. Sometimes like the NHRA would hire us for like a division race and things like that. But the IHRA really stepped their game up this year, and they wanted the jet cars to be in one of their competitive classes. And so we worked with Scott Gardner. It was Aaron Polburn at the time, but then Scott's now taken over, and Jason Rittenberry, the president of IRG. And, you know, we kind of sat down, and we talked to them about where we would like to see jet racing go and what our dream was, and they told them what their dream – or told us what their dreams were. And we decided that we were going to, you know, try to make this happen together. So this year has been a learning curve from Tucson, where Kat scrubbed the wall and I blew an engine, to, you know, taking home our very first Ironman. It's had its ups and downs, but it's ending on the upside. So we're really happy with that.
How are you enjoying the increased exposure of your team in both the media and at the events?
Oh, man, Larry Crum from IHRA, the PR manager, he has gotten us girls on every single TV, radio, newspaper. I mean, we have been plastered across North America. That has been amazing. You know, I was racing by myself for the longest time, and I decided, because we first had Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University as a sponsor, and, you know, things were going really well. And not long into it, Miller Welding decided that they wanted to hop on board and sponsor their own car. So me being greedy, I said, honey, I can drive both cars. I like racing. So was driving both cars for the longest time. And my husband said, okay, you're going to need to either get another husband, or I need another wife or something. So we did the next best thing. We hired another driver. And no, we're not one of those multiple husband-wife kind of couples. No, we decided to hire another driver, and things went really well. Because things went so well with Miss Marisha, we decided to double in size again for 2014, and we brought on Kat Moeller. Dawn Purdue started the season out with us, and now we have our newest driver, Allison West, has come on the scene at the very end of the season. So it's been really exciting. Totally grow power. We're the fans are eating it up, the racetracks are eating it up, and husband couldn't be happier. He's got four pretty women, five pretty women walking around him. What could be better?
What's your favorite racetrack that you can beat on?
You know, I thought about that question, and it's really hard for me to say what my favorite one is, because this year we've gotten to go to so many new racetracks. We went into Canada for the first time this year, Grand Bend. I'd like to say going across the border was uneventful, because, you know, you hear all these border or horror stories about getting across and, you know, that everybody making you unload the car and all that kind of stuff. Ours wasn't quite that bad, but it was the U.S. side was the tough one. But the Canadian presence, the fans, holy cow, they were amazing. It made every ounce of the irritation going across the border worth it. Those people were so excited. And then we made the trek up to Grand Bend, to Edmonton. And Edmonton was even better than Grand Bend, believe it or not. I mean, the fans were crazy, insane. They loved it. But, you know, it's like an old shoe. You like to put them on. I like going back to my old favorites like Cordova and things like that, because I know the fans. So it's hard for me to pick on which one, but I can tell you I've got a lot of fans everywhere, and I love them all. They have been amazing.
That's awesome. What are your goals for 2014 and beyond?
Well, right now I'm going for the championship, because IHRA has actually given us points. And jet cars have never had that before. Well, they did until they were outlawed back in the, late 70s. They got outlawed because they were so dangerous, or so that's what everyone said. But luckily they put us back in the rule book and let us go back out and see if we didn't hurt ourselves anymore. And So right now for 2014 would be the first world championship trophy from the IHRA. I would be really excited to do that. I'm number one in points right now. I just can't hiccup. We have one more race in the season for the IHRA in Memphis is where it's all, you know, heading to the end. Before that, though, Marisha and I get to go have some fun and the fireball run. So I think, you know, she's number two in points, and I think she's just trying to get me to go out there and see what a nice girl she is so that she can pass me in points or something. But it's going to be a lot of fun. The season's just wrapping up, and we couldn't be happier. So I want to win. That's what I want to do in 2014, win.
There you go. How did you enjoy the Palm Beach International Raceway there? I know that the event didn't go quite as they planned because the weather wasn't cooperative, but how did you feel that the racetrack did overall?
Oh, man, PBR has always been one of my favorite tracks. Just because that's where I got my jet car license, that's where I take all my girls to get their test laps in because it's such an amazing track. It's well lit. It's got a long shutdown. You know, the track people that work there, from scraping the track to the guys who work on the start and line to everyone who works in tech department, all that, they really bend over backwards. When they see us coming in, it's like family. So, you know, it made me sad that it rained out. You never want that to happen. And I feel for, like, the IHRA because I know how much time, effort, and money that they put into events, and especially these mm-hmm. other racers because, you know, these are their big events. This is when they get to run in front of a lot of fans and a lot of stuff. And, you know, it's disappointing. It's disheartening for them to work on their hot rods all week long and then to have it come to a crashing halt when Mother Nature comes in. But, you know, other than that, the event was great. You know, IHRA always puts on a top-notch event. They always make sure that the fan comes first, and they put on some great racing. The Nitro Nostalgia Funny Cars, the Mountain Motor Pro Stocks, and the Nitro Harleys have been screaming down the tracks. Holy cow, those Harleys are insane.
Yeah. Have you ever competed in any other sort of racing aside from the Jet Dragsters?
Oh, yeah. I started out when I was, I'm not going to, if I tell you my age, then you'll know, but it was a long time ago when I was in my mid-20s, when I was a young pup. I started out with a 75 Vega that I ran super gas for a while, and then I had an altered that I ran as well. So, yeah, I started out just grassroots racing. We'd go out thinking I was, like, the baddest car out there bracket racing. I got put on the trailer more times than I thought I should have, probably. My lights weren't always the best, but, you know, we had fun, and that was what it was all about. You know, my little boy, Andrew, started out coming to the track when he was only 6 weeks old, and now he's my crew chief, and he's getting my car tuned to number one in points, so I'm proud of him. He's 17 years old and welcoming his mama into the race car, so it's kind of cool that we get to bring our families up at the racetrack.
There you go. Well, I'd like to thank you very much for coming on the program.
Absolutely.
And now I'm going to talk to your teammate, Marisha Falk.
Yeah, don't let her talk any smack about me, okay?
She probably will. You can be making funny faces at her as she's talking smack about you.
She's sitting right here. I'm going to hand the phone over to her for a minute. I can't believe that girl sat this quiet for this long. If you think I'm going to keep quiet, you're insane. I'm going to be doing something. But I'll let you talk to her. Thank you so much for having me come on. Make sure you follow us. We're the Jet Jockeys this year on the Fireball, so make sure you follow Little Miss Mo and I on the Fireball.
Thank you very much, and I look forward to following your career for a long time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello?
Hello, this is Adam Sinclair on Thursday Night Thunder. How are you doing?
Good, Adam. Nice to talk to you. It's Marisha.
Nice to talk to you, too. How did you get your start in racing?
Unlike Elaine, I had no drag racing experience when I started racing the Jets. I am a double alumni from Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University, who's the sponsor of the dragster I'm driving this year. And I was up representing the university at an air show called EAA Air Venture in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, where I met mm-hmm. Elaine Larson. She ran her fastest time yet, fastest time at 336 miles an hour and just over the quarter mile. And I instantly fell in love with just the adrenaline behind it and the fan interaction. So as soon as I seen Elaine do that, I knew it was something I wanted to do. At that time, she wasn't ready to hire on a new driver. So I kind of just stepped to the side and went to the track with her, learned more about track etiquette and all that kind of stuff since I wasn't raised around the drag strip. And a few years in, she was ready to hire a driver, and I was just happened to be in the right place at the right time, and she gave me the opportunity to step it up, and I've been with the team for 3 years now.
What's your ultimate racing memory?
That's a hard question for me to answer because my favorite part of racing is probably the fan interaction and just seeing the children's response when you get back because they get so excited and they get so involved with the team. So I can't really pinpoint one because no matter where we go, we have been fortunate to have just amazing, dedicated fans. There's tracks we've been to that every year we come out, the same kids will come out and they've got their shirts from the previous years and they ask you to sign them. So I have memories really at all the tracks with all the kids and stuff. They're definitely the highlight of my racing career.
What's the favorite track that you've been to?
Favorite track? I have to say by far my favorite track is PBIR or West Palm Beach down in South Florida. That's where I started. I made my first pass in the dragster there, and I am extremely close to my family, and that's probably one of the only races that my entire family, my fiance, they can all make it out to it because it's close to home. The facility is amazing. It's a gorgeous track, and the people there, just because we do all of our home track racing there, you know, got to know us pretty well, and they treat us pretty great. So I'm going to have to go with Palm Beach.
Yeah. What's your ultimate racing goal?
I don't have a long-term goal in racing, I guess we'll say. My true passion is aviation, and when I'm done racing the jet cars, I'll go back to building my aviation career and hopefully flying corporate. It's been an amazing experience so far, and I look forward to the future things I have, but I'm engaged, and my fiancé is ready to move to Texas and settle down and have a family and babies and jet racing. They don't go together too well, so we'll see what I've got left in me for the jets, and maybe down in the road I'll maybe make a comeback or something after the kids get a little older, if the husband will let me at the time.
You never know. I've seen the jet-powered school bus they had for a while, so you never know.
Yep, we see him occasionally at the air shows. He doesn't really do many drag races, but it's definitely a fun thing. I actually had a friend post that on my Facebook saying that was the next thing I should race.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to thank you very much for coming on the program, and I wish you lots of luck in your career and in your future endeavors as well.
All right. Well, thanks for talking to me tonight, and I hope you have a great evening.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Take care.
Once again, I'd like to thank Marisha Falk, Elaine Larson, Tristan Nunez, and Don O'Neill for taking the time out of the busy schedules to join me in the Thunderdome. I see I've got a couple of callers on the line. Let's see if they have any comments to make. Hello, and welcome to the program. How can I help you? Hello? Apparently my callers have gone. But once again, I'd like to thank everybody for listening. And next week, we hope to welcome NASCAR Nationwide driver Blake Koch, as well as former NASCAR Sprint Cup driver Jeremy Mayfield, to the Thunderdome, as well as your questions. Be sure to check out past episodes of Thursday Night Thunder, as well as other shows on the Speedway Digest Radio Network at radio.speedwaydigest.com. You can also read my nearly daily articles covering all aspects of motorsports at speedwaydigest.com. I'd also like to thank my friends once again at the NASCAR Zone, the number one NASCAR fan site on Facebook, for their continued support. I'd like to thank you for listening, and I look forward to seeing you next week, once again, same time, same place, here in the Thunderdome.